Hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. Thank you for your prayers, too. A lot of people telling me they're praying for me. I'm grateful for it. I really am. I was at Mass this afternoon, and I thought of you, and I prayed for you. And you were part of my Eucharistic intention today, and know that I pray for you just about every day, if not multiple times throughout the day. I tell you that a lot, and I just want you to know you're not alone. I'm here for you, and I want to pray with you. And what I love about this time is we have our spiritual family joined together. You know, I just spent the first hour looking at the country, you know, what was happening. If you missed part of it, you can go to the podcast. But I looked at everything from the breakdown and some of the latest data with marriage and family. And we took a look at inflation and liberal policies. And we took a look at, you know, crime rates and the culture of death. I mean, what's the solution to it? It's God's mercy. That's it. That's the only answer. It's God's mercy. He told St. Faustina, the world will never have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. We need his mercy. Let's pray for mercy on our country. The other thing I think that's really important, and it's a byproduct of, well, it's a tool that Satan likes to use, and it's impurity. Think of how many people today are struggling with impurity. I mean, we live in an epidemic, a pandemic of pornography. I mean, I don't think there's been something that has spread so virally and has infected so many people and has destroyed so many lives and has just change the hearts of so many people. Purity is one of those great virtues, and you need it to be able to stand before God. You know, you do. You need purity. Today, I want to call upon Saint Lucy, because she was a young holy woman in the third century who was inspired by Saint Agatha to dedicate her life to God. And at the time, she was betrothed to another man, but she felt called by God, just to remain virginal. And as you might have heard throughout the day, Father Kubicki gave a great commentary as he talked about how, you know, when she was to be married and her dowry was to be given to the man she was to be married to, she gave it all away to the poor, and it enraged the man that she was betrothed to. So he brought her before, I guess, the court of the time, accused her of being a Christian, and the commander there, the consult or whoever was in charge of making this decision said, hey, if you're not a Christian, you know, you sacrifice to these pagan idols. And she wouldn't do it because she was a Christian. She adamantly refused. She remained steadfast. And as a result of it, they were going to punish her for it. And, she tried to defend her body from defilement, and she even says that to me, you know, if you have ravished me against my will, my chastity will still be doubled, and the crown will be mine. You'll never be able to force my will, she said. And they tortured her. They tortured her in unimaginable ways. When they tried to eventually move her, according to the legend or the story, they were unable to move her. The strongest men, hundreds of men, unable to move her. They sent for a yoke and an oxen to move her. She was immovable, right? So they thought maybe she cast a spell. So they built this this fire, and they had boiling oil poured on top of her. And in the midst of all of it, Lucy remained pure. She remained inviolate. She wouldn't allow them to do it. Finally, they gouged her eyes out. And then they drew a sword and they stuck it in her throat. I don't know if you've ever seen a statue of her. I mean, it's horrible. I don't mean to be too macabre. That wound to her neck was the thing that caused her martyrdom. But in the midst of all of this, she was willing to undergo painful tortures and ultimately death in light of her purity, because she dedicated herself to God. And he ultimately protected her in her time of need. So let's call upon her. She's also the patron saint of the blind. They gouged out her eyes, right? And you often see her sometimes, not only with a cut on her womb, but sometimes carrying her eyes on a tray. I know it can be kind of macabre, but God honors purity. He does. And I want to pray for anyone struggling with pornography today. I want to struggle with anyone who's not being faithful to their spouse. You're in that immoral relationship. I want to pray for those who are struggling, you know, with cohabitation, fornication, you know, or an illicit, immoral relationships, and you know who you might be. I want to pray for those in troubled marriages, and I want to pray for our country, and I want to pray for you. Those are my intentions today. So Joining me today is Chris Flood. She's my colleague, and let me get her intentions, and then I'll go to you, and we can all pray together. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for?
I would like to pray for all those affected by the tornadoes Friday night, especially those in Kentucky and Illinois and all those states that were affected.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Tom, my producer, and I this morning were talking about that, and definitely want to get that on there. Maggie will be sharing Twitter intentions, too, so you can get them on. But let's pray. I want to try to get as many phone calls on as we can this afternoon, and we'll pray the powerful, beautiful, incredibly moving chaplet. I know it moves the heart of God. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. It is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take our first call. We'll go to Allison, listening to us in Texas. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I have a really big cup, but first I want to say thank you for everybody at Relevant Radio. We consecrate, my daughters and I consecrate everybody there and their families every morning on our way to school. And my first intention is an intention of thanksgiving. We were in an animal car accident on Friday night, and we were able to walk away with no bruises, no bumps, everything. The only thing is my car, it might be totaled. We're not sure yet. And so the reposed soul of my mother's sister, the eldest of nine, Irma Ochoa, we buried her on Sunday. And for my daughter, whose birthday is today, Trinity Araceli Lucia, may she get some birthday blessings. Thank you so much, Drew.
You got it. Hang in there. I'm sorry for your accident. I mean, God will bring good out of that situation. I've been in similar ones, and God really has surprised me quite often. Allison, let's pray for you. Thank you for that prayer of thanksgiving. And Lord, I pray for all the intentions that she just has brought forward. I just ask you to intercede or intervene in a special way for her and let her see your providence. I want to pray for her aunt. I'm going to pray for her daughter. And I'm going to pray for all those united to me now. Lord, you know the different tribulations of life that we face. Give us the fortitude to endure our crosses, large and small. Give us that grace to have faith and trust and see the results of these prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Now we'll go to the City of Brotherly Love next. Mercedes praying with us there. Hi, Mercedes. Good to have you here today.
Hi, Drew. I pray for healing prayers for my brother-in-law diagnosed with POEMS syndrome. It affects the blood, cells, legs, and feet. And also my 25-year-old niece diagnosed with a type of arthritis that involves needle injections and may have to change jobs because of it. Thank you.
You got it. All right, let's lift up those prayers. Lord, we give them to you right now as we pray for Mercedes, but I also want to pray for anyone with a blood disorder. I want to pray for anyone suffering from arthritis, especially RA. And Lord, I just give you the body with its aches and pains. I give you the breakdown of the body with age. I pray for those with debilitating diseases. Pray for her intentions. And on this decade in particular, I ask that the graces of your divine healing touch those who are in need of it, those battling COVID and cancer and all the other threats to the body. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Before I go to the next call, we'll go to Twitter. Maggie is always monitoring our Twitter account. And, of course, I'm grateful for everyone who's written to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Send me your answered prayers there. I'll try to share a few more intentions. But, Maggie, what's coming in on Twitter that we can pray for today?
Well, I wanted to echo Chris's prayer for those affected by the tornadoes down south. I was getting some texts and calls about that this weekend as well. Sharon wrote to us. She said, please pray for my mom, Marianne. She is declining quickly with severe COVID. Her saturation rates are dropping every day, and it's extremely difficult for her to breathe. Doctors and nurses are not very optimistic. Mom can sense it and is beginning to lose her hope. So let's pray for her mom, Marianne. Catherine wrote to us. She said, I would like to ask for prayers for my cousin Audrey's two boys, Benjamin and Joshua. They have many health issues. Benjamin especially needs prayers at this time. I'd also like to pray for the severe nerve damage that I deal with. Teresa wrote to us. She said, if you could pray for my job search, that would be amazing. My bank account is getting very low and I'm getting nervous, but I trust that God has a plan. And then this one was really good to hear. Annette wrote to us. She said, prayers of thanksgiving, Drew. Prayers answered. You all prayed for my son, Dan, who's 29, a nurse, and has battled lung cancer for nearly 3 years. Now he's got a clear scan.
Wow, that's great.
Thank you to Jesus and the
you
Blessed
know
Mother.
I love that.
Yep.
Amen. Wow, that's great. Well, thanks, Maggie. Now, Lord, we just thank you for the way you work. Cancer's not bigger than God. Thank you for medicine. Thank you for technology. Thank you for surgery. We thank you for your divine touch. And I do pray for those who've been given the diagnosis of cancer and those who don't see any way out of their situation. I pray that your presence can be felt. Like, miracles happen every day. I've seen them so many times in my own life. I want you to know that if you're in a tough situation right now, God can change it. Whether you're drowning in debt and you don't see any way you'll ever get out of it, whether it is your health and the diagnosis looks bad, whether the marriage appears to be over, whether the court case seems not to be going in your favor, let me just tell you, God can change things in a heartbeat, in a blink. I'm telling you. And prayer helps to do that. Prayer and fasting do wonders. Lord, I ask for your will to be done, our fortitude, the ability to carry our crosses, to trust. But I do pray for miracles as I do every day. Let me add Therese to our third decade today. Therese, good afternoon.
Rejoice in the Lord, and thank you, Drew.
You're welcome.
The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I phoned because my son was scheduled that day for elbow surgery. And just before the surgery, they canceled it because his doctor was having a heart attack. He has since had surgery, and he's doing great. And then I have macular degeneration in one eye, and I've had it for 13 years, and I've been stabilized with eyeball shots. And then I also have Bell's palsy in the other. I was given a STEM machine, S-T-I-M machine, and I put it on my macular degeneration eye, and my eye is healing. It's no longer blurry in the middle. I can see the dot. And yes, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And I also start taking spirulina, so I don't know if that helped at all. But definitely, and that's been since June.
Right.
Also, thank you. Thank you for telling me about, telling us about the shrine of, in Chicago, St. Francis Cabrini. I got there because I've been on a 3-week trip to from California to New York. And I got there, and I prayed for you, especially, and, you know, of course, Relevant Radio. And also, I have a mission, which I give out. It's my penny mission, and I give out Divine Mercy pictures and explain the value of in God We Trust. And have met wonderful people, and especially a young man named Justin, who is on drugs, and he wants prayer. So Justin B. and several other people, and I think I even met an old man friend. So anyway, my attention is for family unity because forgiveness and.
All right, I love that. I just love it. Teresa, let me hold you on that point. A lot there. I'm going to make sure we get our chaplet all in here. But I'm so grateful for your prayers. I love your intentions for family unity. We need that. And what a great day for you to call in. I know you're praying for so many other people. We'll bring those intentions to everyone. But I want to pray for your eyes today, okay? Today, we celebrate the Feast of St. Lucy, patron saint of eyes. So anyone who's having eye problems, macular degeneration, glaucoma, problems with your cornea, your retinas, vision, whatever it may be, let's ask her to intercede for us. I want to pray for James Bosco, a young man who lost his vision. And I know God's going to do something in a special way with this man and with his life. So we want to pray for him too. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Dina is praying with us in Chicago. Hi, Dina. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling about my sister who's 80 years old and is supposed to have surgery around 7 o'clock this evening, and she needs prayers badly because she's at a very risk for surgery because she has emphysema very bad. She can't breathe as it is, and so I'm afraid of the anesthetic, and so I need prayers for her. She's the only one left of my family, and I need prayers very badly for her. And I pray to God, and I don't know if he listens to me because I worry so much, and that means like I'm not having faith in God.
Dina, your heart's in the right place. God knows your heart. You know, he knows your intentions, and believe me, I know sometimes it's hard to have that faith and that trust, but that's what we're here for today. We're going to pray with you, okay? You have your spiritual family here. We're going to lift you up, and I know how terrifying it could be having your own sister right now with respiratory issues facing surgery. And Lord, I ask that you allow her to come through the surgery with flying colors to be able to spend many more years with her sister Dina. And allow this to be another testimony of the power of the chaplain. Be the hands of that physician. You know, Dina, the soul that trusts in God's mercy, the Lord told Faustina, is most fortunate because he himself takes care of it. So let's trust for you, okay? I know you're having a difficult time. I trust in God's mercy, and I'm gonna be praying for your sister. I know everyone else here is too. So Lord, I pray for all those, especially for those times when we do have weakness in our faith and in our trust. I just pray for those graces too, that we may be fortified as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Andrina. She's listening in Fox Lake, Illinois. Hi, Andrina. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is a call for total Thanksgiving. My daughter was near death 8 days ago with COVID. With everything wrong, the doctor didn't have any hope, and they're going to push her out in a day or two, I think. She has a complete healing in dire circumstances of almost dying, and I had everyone praying, and this I prayed for her mind, body, and soul to be opened up and for her to have a second chance at life. And he came through, and I praise his holy name for her healing, and also a prayer for my other daughter, and that she too open her mind, body, and soul to Jesus. We all need second chances, and God is giving it to us, and also for the living and dead of my life to bless them, and also my Auntie Lucy on St. Lucy's Day.
All right. Great prayers. Amen. I'm with you, Andrea. Thank you for your beautiful prayer. And thank you for your testimony. Doctors might say, hey, there's nothing more we can do. We don't have a whole lot of hope. That's what you need to pray all the more and trust all the more and hold out that big cup, as I like to say. Ask big. And Lord, I thank you for the way you do answer prayers. I love these answered prayers, these testimonies, these prayers of thanksgiving. Lord, I just give you our hearts. I give you my heart. I give you those who are praying with me, all those intentions that weigh down on us so heavily, all those things we're asking for you, of you. And we just ask for the results, that we can see your presence. We can see the fruit of our prayer. And I thank you for this opportunity to trust, to have faith, to exercise. And I thank you for the opportunity to pray together with so many. And Lord, just let the torrents of your mercy reach these souls as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Lucy,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying. Please send me those answered prayers. I'm so grateful to see how God is working in your life. Keep praying, keep trusting. God will not fail you. He will not abandon you. Trust me on that. When we come back, I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to a great bishop, somebody who I have tremendous respect for. And wait to hear what's happening. This is going to be a great conversation. You're going to love it, so stay with me.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
The Catholic Diocese of Marquette is asking its pastors to deny baptism, confirmation, and other sacraments to transgender and non-binary people unless they have repented. The guidance was issued in July, but it's getting national attention now after a prominent priest and advocate for LGBTQ Catholics shared it on Twitter. Bishop John Durfler says acting on the feelings of gender dysphoria can be an obstacle.
It's important for us to come to a realization of the gift of the body that the Lord has given us, that He's given us this body as male or female, to come to acknowledge that, to treasure that, and to respect that.
The diocese guidance says a person who publicly identifies as a different gender than his or her biological sex or has attempted gender transitioning may not be baptized, confirmed, or received into full communion in the church unless the person has repented. The same applies to people publicly living in a same-sex sexual relationship. The senior director of GLAAD Media Institute, which promotes LGBTQ acceptance and cultural change, calls the diocese's position harmful.
It uses ministry as a weapon against people for who they are. And I think having the avenues of participating in the life of the church gets really harmful when those things are cut off from you.
Despite the instructions, Durfler says it's important to reach out to people with love.
It is very important for us to do that and not just to ignore people who are in need of our friendship and to journey with them in union to Christ.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was His Excellency Bishop John Durfler. He's going to be joining me in a second here. I know him personally. I have tremendous respect, and what he is saying and what he's doing is shrouded in love and is deeply pastoral. Just to zoom out for a second before we talk about what's happening with Bishop Durfler and what could be shocking to many who are listening to this. Several Catholic hospitals, just to give you a bigger picture. There was a Catholic university, the Religious Sisters of Mercy. They're all going to be before the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals this week. They're challenging a federal mandate that forces doctors to ignore science, to put aside their own medical judgment, and forcing them to perform controversial, gender transition procedures, including on children, even if those procedures are going to cause them permanent harm. And the mandate, it threatens them with, a multi-million dollar penalty for sex discrimination if they don't perform these procedures. But the problem that we confront with this, you know, this ideology, it goes beyond this. This is the byproduct. And we've talked about this before. Doctors are going to lose their jobs. They're going to step down or they'll be sued, as you point out. This is part of this infection in the culture, right? This disorientation that we are in right now. But it goes beyond hospitals. Pastors have to deal with people with same-sex attraction and with gender dysphoria in a way that I don't think they ever had to a decade ago. You heard in the last few years, you know, about Catholic schools dealing with kids who, in the custody of same-sex couples, one who might be their true dad or father or their mom, whatever it may be. You know, there are those who want the church to bless those same-sex marriages. You also have numbers rising of people who claim that they're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, and who then take the physical actions to make themselves, you know, look like that and feel like that. We've spoken to several people on the air many times. I mean, there's a great man named Walt Heyer who's been through the transition surgery and ultimately came back, and he's got a ministry out there now to help others. He saw the damage that it caused and the lie that it is. See, in the past, gender dysphoria was treated as a psychological illness, and the therapy was to help people see themselves according to their biological reality, you know, who they really were. That's been flipped now on its head, and dealing with it is a huge challenge. So a lot of people in these situations see the church, and this is what I want to talk about today, as being hostile, that the church is the enemy. The church, you know, is hostile to them personally, while they themselves are hostile to the church for not blessing those life choices. So it's kind of almost an impasse, right? The church, of course, is not against them. That could not be farther from the truth. In fact, as you heard Bishop Derfler in that piece, and as I'm sure you're going to hear in a minute here, the church is called to love them. And how do you love them? By not letting them stay where they are. I'm joined this afternoon by His Excellency, Bishop John Derfler. He is the Bishop of Marquette, Michigan, in Marquette, Michigan there, and he's written an instruction on dealing with these people who've gotten a lot of attention, but for really the wrong reasons, and it's a delight just to tap into his vision here and get a deeper understanding of what's happening. Your Excellency, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for making time for me today.
Good afternoon, Joe. Drew, it's good to be on your show, and I wish to extend warm greetings to everyone who may be listening.
You know, you're getting a lot of attention. A piece we ran was, I think it was from NBC a little bit earlier here. The headlines that I have seen have all been about denying the sacraments to people dealing with this, right? That's not really at all the purpose of your instruction, is it? And I want to give you a platform to reach the country to give better understanding on this. In fact, I know you spend most of the time talking about proper understanding of accompanying these individuals. So, I want to give you the floor. How's that accompaniment supposed to happen? And maybe lay it out, help people understand the issue at large.
Thank you, Drew. You are really correct in saying this. The whole fundamental thrust of the document is one of pastoral care and accompaniment. Now, that word tends to get battered around today, and there seems to be a bit of confusion about what pastoral accompaniment is. So I'd like to talk about that and situate this wonderful pastoral wisdom in the context that we're talking about today. And I'd like to quote just a couple little sections of my instruction just to start out with. I say, our fundamental approach to persons with same-sex attraction and persons with gender dysphoria is pastoral accompaniment, a loving interpersonal encounter along the road to deeper faith in Jesus Christ. To accompany others, it is insufficient merely to state the church's teaching. In addition, we must strive to meet people and lead them step by step as we all walk toward the fullness of truth. Accompaniment requires docility to the Holy Spirit and discernment of the steps along the path. Discernment requires the virtue of pastoral prudence and must be carried out in fidelity to the teachings of the church. Accompaniment does not dilute the teachings of the church, but rather, animated by charity, we are to proclaim the gospel in its fullness. The path of accompaniment leads first to a deeper encounter with Jesus and a proclamation of the kerygma, the core message of the gospel. In light of the experience of God's love and with the strength of his grace, people are then able to address sinful behavior. To address the behavior apart from fostering a personal encounter with Jesus and his love is likely to harm the other person. The grace of God makes conversion possible. Thus, we must begin the journey of pastoral accompaniment by striving to foster a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Only then can we shepherd people step by step to embrace and live the fullness of truth. And, Drew, the Lord gives us a wonderful example of what pastoral accompaniment is like in his dialogue with the woman at the well. And if, you know, we look at this, you know, beautiful gospel passage from, you know, the Gospel of John in chapter 4, we really see a whole summary of the journey to faith in Jesus Christ. And notice when Jesus approaches her, he does not begin by pronouncing a moral judgment on her behavior. He really begins with the offer of living water and eternal life. You know, think of how the Lord just treats this woman with great love and great kindness, and he engages her in conversation. And it's when the woman begins to desire this water, only at that point does the Lord begin to point out some behaviors that she needs to change. And, you know, the Lord says, go call your husband. She says she doesn't have a husband. And the Lord says, you are right in saying I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. You know, the Lord doesn't begin with this. He really begins by, you know, treating her with great dignity and respect, and looking at her with this loving gaze and in this conversation. And only when they begin to build this relationship and this woman begins to desire this living water, which of course we know is, you know, the Holy Spirit, this is when the Lord begins to stir in her a greater desire for conversion. And of course, you know, we know the full story here. The woman goes back into town and tells other people about him, and then the Lord reveals to her, you know, that he is the Messiah. So you have a whole journey of faith that is summarized so beautifully in this interaction. And this is really what we are to do with people. We're here to build relationships. You know, we're here to reach out in love. We don't start by approaching somebody and trying to give them a complete list of their sins. That doesn't go very far.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Northeast Wisconsin, that great dairy state, and just to use a little image there, cold butter doesn't spread. And we're really to be, conduits of, of the love of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God's love that is to mark our interactions with people. We are to avoid altogether, you know, the attitude of the Pharisees that the Lord criticizes in the gospel, where they just lay burdens, you know, that are hard to bear on people's shoulders. You know, instead, we're here to introduce people to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when people have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and when they have an encounter with his love, you know, it's only then that they can, you know, look at their behavior and begin to see that, hey, there are some things I really need to change in my life. And what Jesus is calling me to is the way that leads to happiness. It's the way that leads to life. It's the way that leads to love. Another example of this from the gospel. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold that thought just one moment. I'm up against the clock. I take it just a short pause. When we come back, we can pick it up. If you want to join us too, the number here is 888-914-9149. Our conversation continues right after this. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
So the puzzle is, why out of nowhere in the last decade have we seen a sudden and sharp spike of teenage girls who have no childhood history of gender dysphoria suddenly deciding they're trans, often with their girlfriends? And the numbers are quite alarming. We now have, you know, between 2016 and 2017, the number of young women asking for gender surgeries quadrupled in the United States. So we know it's typically teenage girls who are driving this population. So the question is, why? What is it about teenage girls? Whenever you have any kind of, you know, diagnosis that's exploding, it really is important to ask why. And, you know, we're not seeing this with women in their 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the same population that falls for every other peer contagion. You know, I interviewed a lot of people for the book and a lot of scientific experts, and a lot of them agree. I mean, we know that you can't house young women who are anorexic on hospital wards together without being really careful, because they will tend to encourage each other and their anorexia will get more severe. It's not comparable with boys. They don't go through quite the same things.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us. That, of course, was... that was Abigail, I think his last name was Schreier, on the trans craze right now. We're seeing in teens, she talks about it in her book, Irreversible Damage, and how it's seducing a lot of particular women. If you're just joining me, there was some buzz. You might have seen it in the mainstream media. You might have seen it out of other resources about a diocese in Michigan that has instructed its pastors to deny baptism and confirmation and other sacraments to transgender, non-binary people unless they have repented. These are the headlines that you'll see out there. The guidance was issued by the Diocese of Marquette. I'm joined by Bishop John Durfler, who is the bishop there. And I just want to make sure that as you hear those type of headlines, you know, they're being denied the sacraments, you know, that there's clarity on it. You know, that you understand truly what is behind this. And that's why I invited Bishop Durfler to be here to just give some perspective on it. So if it comes up, somebody says, man, the church, you know, they're terrible. You know, this is why people are leaving the church. You'll truly understand what the impetus and the motive behind this is. And Your Excellency, again, for those who are just joining us, maybe you could just give us a quick summary of that and then maybe pick up where you left off.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. The document or the instruction that I issued is fundamentally about pastoral accompaniment and reaching out to people in love and walking with them step by step to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's truly in the light of Jesus and his love that we're able to make changes in our life. And I'd like to sort of pick up our conversation, you know, where, you know, we left off, and cite another example in the Gospels that I think is, you know, important for us here. And that's the conversion in the life of Zacchaeus. And you might be familiar with this passage in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And initially, you know, Zacchaeus is curious about Jesus. He kind of climbs up and tries to see him, and when Jesus reaches out to him and expresses his desire to stay with him, you know, the heart of Zacchaeus is touched and something changes. And Zacchaeus then says, you know, behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I've extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. Well, it's that loving encounter with Jesus Christ that makes all the difference in the life of Zacchaeus. And it's only in light of that encounter with Jesus Christ that he's, you know, willing and able to make this great change in his life. And you know, I would just like to say to anyone who might be listening who has same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria, you know, the Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, and he wants to come into your life. And he wants to flood you with a love that is beyond understanding. And I would just invite you to open up your heart to him. And, you know, for us who, you know, accompany others, I think it's important for us to look at, you know, our own life and, you know, our own, you know, personal weaknesses and the fact that each and every one of us needs encouragement along the way to Jesus. And, you know, we all face, you know, some kinds of desires in our life that it's not good for us to act on. And to put it in a real, you know, simple way, let's just say it's all about chips and salsa. Now, you know how it goes. You start, or at least maybe this is autobiographical. You start eating some chips and salsa, and you have one, and then you have another, and you have another. And then the next thing you realize, you've eaten half the bag, and then you think, well, I might as well finish it off. I've eaten half the bag. Well, that's a disordered desire for chips and salsa. It's not in the means of moderation. Right. You know, we all have some kinds of struggles one way or another that, you know, we need help and encouragement with. And, you know, for those of us, you know, along the journey, you know, we need to recognize that, you know, because of original sin, we all struggle with something. You know, it might be, you know, disordered anger, or it might be difficulty, you know, moderating our desires for food, or maybe we get too caught up with material possessions, or we could go on and on and on. You know, we all have something that, you know, that we need, you know, some help with, and we're here as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ to help each other. And it's not for us to encourage each other to give in to any desires that we might experience that would be, you know, contrary to, you know, the will of God in our lives. And so what I think is a necessary disposition for, you know, for all of us along the way, and if we want to accompany other people, is to recognize that we have our own weaknesses and we need accompaniment too. And it's this loving interpersonal encounter where we journey together along the way to deeper faith in Jesus and deeper holiness, and embracing more and more and more in our lives the fullness of the truth of the Christian life that the Lord has revealed to us.
Amen to that. Your Excellency, I have about a minute left before I have to take a break for some news. If someone's listening and they want more information or they want help or direction, what could you recommend?
Okay, so you know, for anyone you know, with same sex you know attraction, there is a wonderful organization called Courage. I'd encourage you to take a look at that. And you know, if there's someone with gender dysphoria, I would encourage you to find a good counselor that's going to help you in the right way. That would be hard for me to give some specific recommendations depending on where, you know, people live, but someone, you know, who will really help you and walk with you and help you learn to treasure the beautiful gift of your body that God has given you.
Yeah. Amen to that. My thanks to Bishop John Durfler, Bishop of Mark.